my great pleasure to welcome Pete. But when I was praying about, you know, how do I introduce Pete? I asked God, you know, what is it? How do you see Pete? And I just felt like he said, he's a man full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I've had the privilege of hearing Pete on a course that I took many years ago. And I honestly would not be here in this position if it wasn't for that course that I took and wow, listening to everything that Pete and others taught on the course. So, yeah, if you want to come up, Pete.
Thank you.
I just want to pray for you. Lord, thank you for the ministry that you've given Pete, for the fact that you called him, that he's your son, and that you really like him. And I just ask, Lord, that you would bless him this morning as he shares, and that you would open our hearts, and that we would just receive your word today.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Okay, thank you. Right, let me switch myself on. All right, it's good to be with you again here in James Street. It's a while since I was last here. In fact, the last time I was here, we did a quiz night. I was part of the quiz night, and you were raising money for School of Ministries, and really appreciate your giving towards the work we're involved in, and God is continuing to expand and grow that work, and it's great that we have people like yourselves supporting us. That was the end of last year, I think October, November time. Things have been interesting over the last few months. For those of you who know my wife Irene, she in December was diagnosed with breast cancer, and so had to go through an operation and all that followed it. I'm delighted to say she's doing extremely well. Since May the 11th, she's been free of any kind of treatment, and she is totally and completely restored and whole and well and free from any trace of cancer. So we give God thanks for his goodness to us. The other thing that has happened, which is new and fresh, is that I've become an author since I was last with you. I've written a book, and here it is. It's called Pentecost Now, Pentecost Then. It's the best book I've ever written. And it's about the Holy Spirit. And it's a prophetic encouragement to believe for us as individuals and for us as the church that God wants to pour out his Spirit upon us, to raise our level of expectation of what it means to be full of the Spirit, and to encourage us all to believe for a dynamic intervention of the Holy Spirit. The first part is Pentecost Now. It's a series of dreams and messages and prophetic words that I've had over the last 3 years that are meant to lift our faith and expectation. The second part, Pentecost Then, is a little look biblically into the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the individual, with some teaching on the baptism in the Spirit and some chapters on the issue of tongues and other things that people get confused about, and so I highly recommend it. And I've had some really good feedback from different ones. I've written it not because I want to become an author, but because the Holy Spirit clearly spoke to me, and I wrote it because I believe God, or it contains a message that God wants to release to the church. And so I'm very encouraged by its sales, and I have a number available if you would like to purchase one at the end of the gathering. It's $7.99 if you go on Amazon and you pay postage, but I'm doing a special author discount, so you can have it for £7 if you buy one from me. Not only that, I'll write a little message in it, and so you get the author's signature. And I'm so believe in the message that if you want to buy two, I'm happy to sell you two for £12 if you want to give one to a friend. Now, that's not so that you can get together and say, right, if we do that. That's because I want the message to go out there that God wants to come by his Spirit and do a work among us in these days. Before I share something about that, I've got a friend with me called Subhash, commonly known as Bash, not because he's a brutal boxer or anything like that, but God has been using him in the prophetic, and I asked him to just wait on God, and he wants to share a prophetic word now, and God uses him in words of knowledge as well quite regularly. So at the end of my message, you'll probably share some words about healing as well that might encourage us, and we can pray for a few people. So Bash, yeah, go ahead, just share what you feel the Lord's given you.
I just like to say thank you for having me, firstly. And as I came here, I really felt God's love for you all. And it is a real honour to be with people that God loves so much. And I just want you to know that. As I was praying to come, God speaks in a lot of different ways, but to me he tends to speak in dreams and visions. And I had a vision of a door, and this door was on fire. And on the other side of the door, there was two people, and one person was physically wounded, and the other person was carrying a heavy baggage. And what these people were doing, they were walking through the door, and the person who was wounded was instantly healed when they walked through the door. The person that had the baggage shared the baggage, and just had a massive smile on their face. And then the vision cut to a lighthouse which was just beaming this amazing light, and lost ships are being drawn to this lighthouse. And what I felt the Holy Spirit say to me was the message that Peter Butt is bringing today and through his book is going to bring a deeper intimacy for you all and me with the Holy Spirit. And that from that, this church has become like a lighthouse, and lost vessels, lost people in this community are going to be drawn in. So I just want you to think about that as you're listening to Peter. Thank you.
Amen. It's all right. I've got this one. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Thanks, Bash. Yeah, that God wants to touch our lives and change us and set us free from those things that hold us back and restrict us. So about 3 years ago, I was in Kampala in Uganda, and I was asked to speak on Acts chapter 2. It was Pentecost Sunday. It was Whitsun Sunday, and I was asked to speak. And my immediate reaction was, oh, that's good. I've spoken on Acts 2 so many times. That won't be a problem at all. I've got so many messages. I've heard so much on that chapter. And the moment I thought those terrible thoughts, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, I want you to read it again, because I've got things to say to you and things to show you that you've never seen before. And so I went back to Acts chapter 2, and I read again carefully, listening for the Holy Spirit. And the message of the book, Pentecost Now, began on that day back there 3 years ago in Kampala. As God began to speak to me about what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And as I read Acts chapter 2, I became aware of the dramatic transformation that took place in the life of those guys and ladies when they were first filled with the Holy Spirit. People who were afraid, weak, scared for their lives were transformed into powerful men and women of God, unafraid, unashamed, and carrying a sense of the power and presence of God. And it struck me that we have accepted such an ordinary experience of the Holy Spirit, and yet so different from the encounter that those guys had right back there in Acts chapter 2. It talks about they were all together in one place, and suddenly there was a sound of a mighty rushing wind, and the sound filled the house where they were sitting, and there appeared on their head tongues of fire. I mean, fire appeared on their heads, and it says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they were so powerfully filled with the Holy Spirit, had such an encounter with God that they began to speak in languages they'd never learned, extraordinary languages, and they went out from that place and began to speak in these languages in the marketplace. And the dramatic sense of the power of God upon them was so extraordinary that the crowd who were there said, "What on earth is going on? This is a phenomena, because we are hearing these men who've never learnt these languages speaking the wonderful works of God in our own language." Such was the dramatic sense of the power of God that came upon them. And it struck me as I read afresh that I had been encouraged to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but told that I wasn't to expect too much. I wasn't to expect wind and fire and the power of God. You know, if I spoke in tongues a little bit, or just felt a little shiver or fell down, then that was enough, you know. And here I'm reading that when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, their lives were totally and completely transformed. And then Peter gets up in Acts 2:17 and he says, "This is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel." He's saying, look, this encounter that we are experiencing now is exactly what Joel was speaking about. That there is an encounter with the power of the Holy Spirit that will transform our lives, that will change us. And then later on, he talks about Jesus going back to heaven, and he says, and Jesus in verse 33 of Acts 2, he says, "And Jesus has shed, he has poured forth this which you both see and hear." He shed forth this. This is what Joel was talking about. This powerful, transforming encounter with the person of the Holy Spirit. And it's very significant that Peter says, "which you both see and hear." They saw something. The effect of them being filled with the Holy Spirit was so dramatic that the crowd saw a change in the lives of these guys, not just hearing the languages, but seeing something that influenced them. In fact, many of the crowd saw such a dramatic change in the lives of these guys and such joy and exuberance that they thought they were drunk. And the first thing Peter said in Acts 2:17 was, "These men are not drunk as you suppose." You're thinking they're drunk. They ain't drunk at all. They are filled with the Holy Spirit. There was something dramatically powerful about the encounter that they had with the Holy Spirit. What are you laughing at, Mr. Dapp? Yeah. Anyway. It's nice to see him smiling. Yeah. It's better than being a grumpy old man, isn't it? Eh? Anyway. Yeah. So there was a dramatic change in their lives as a result of their encounter with the Holy Spirit. And Peter makes this emphasis, this, what we're expecting is what Jesus, what God promised, what Joel spoke about. And then he says in Acts 2:38, something even more dramatic. He says, "This is for you. What we've experienced isn't just for us, it's for you as well. This experience is for you to know, for you to enjoy. This encounter with the power and presence of the Holy Spirit is for you to know and experience in your lives as well." In fact, he doesn't just say this is for you, he emphasizes it afresh. He says it's for you, your children, your children's children, and to all that are afar off. In other words, to every future generation, to every other person who believes on the Lord Jesus. He said, "even to those who the Lord our God shall call." And if you've been called by the gospel, if you've responded to the gospel of Jesus Christ, then Peter, back there 2,000 years ago, said this powerful encounter with the person of the Holy Spirit is for you. Ha! That you are to enjoy and know a powerful sense of the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. You know, it's very interesting. I went to Bible college and I've read all the books and I've heard all the preachers, and they all said that what happened in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, we shouldn't expect that. That was just for the first time. You shouldn't expect fire. You shouldn't expect such a powerful encounter. And so they've dumbed down the message of what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I felt like God was calling me, and the book is written, to raise our level of expectation of what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That we should expect to know a powerful encounter with the person of the Holy Spirit. And even to see some physical manifestation of God's power among us. And it was very fascinating to me, and I mentioned this in the book, that just a couple of weeks after I felt God had given me this message and I'd preached it for the first time, a friend of mine from Norfolk sent me a photograph of a prayer meeting in Mozambique. And this prayer meeting in Mozambique was, there were just 19 ladies in this prayer meeting, and my friend standing at the back with a camera. And as these ladies began to pray, fire appeared on their heads. And he took a photo of the fire. It's in the book. Yeah, extraordinary. And it was like God said to me, see, that's what I want to do. I want to pour out my Spirit upon the church, upon my people. And friends, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. When I hear what's happening in our town and our cities, and Graham sharing about the blatant presentation of humanism and paganism and anti-God. I've been asked to speak at a wedding next week. It's a secular wedding, and I've been told I can't mention God or pray or the Bible. You know, that's in our country. I can't do it. It's illegal for me to do it because it's a civic wedding, and civic wedding doesn't allow for any religious, they call it, expression at all. Wow. We need God, and we need his power to do the job that he's called us to do. And the good news is, I believe that God's saying to him, I want to release my power among you. I want to fill you with my Holy Spirit. I want you to know a dramatic, powerful encounter with the Holy Spirit. And we can't manage without him. You know that? It's very interesting in the Gospels. At the end of Matthew's Gospel, Jesus says, go and make disciples. And in the end of Mark's Gospel, he says, go and preach the Gospel. And at the end of John's Gospel, he says, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. And at the end of Luke's Gospel, he says, wait, don't go. He says, wait in Jerusalem. I thought he said go. Yes, he said wait. Why did he say wait? He said, well, because I'm calling you to go, but wait, because until you receive the power of the Holy Spirit, you won't be effective in going. And so Luke, who wrote the Gospel and then the book of Acts as well, said wait at the end of Luke. But in Acts Gospel, he said, Jesus said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, that you might be witnesses to me. And I believe that we need a fresh new touch of the power of the Holy Spirit upon us, that we might be effective witnesses for God in the days in which we're living. And I love the way that Peter speaks on the day of Pentecost as he repeats this message in Acts chapter 2. And he talks about the inclusiveness of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He says, in the last days, God said he will pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. And he says, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. And in a society that was very male-dominated and male-oriented, Peter says, hey, listen, when the Spirit's poured out, the gender barrier is broken down. It's not just for men. It's not just for males. It's not just for sons. It's also for daughters. There's an inclusiveness now that God has opened the door, that men and women together might know the power of the Holy Spirit. There's nobody excluded. Hallelujah. In fact, later on he says this, on your servants, both men and women. And so there's this inclusiveness of when the Spirit's poured out, that the same power that comes upon men comes upon women, that the same power that comes upon women comes upon men. The gender barriers broken down. I was in China 3 or 4 years ago in Wuhan, right up in the middle in January. It's freezing cold, and we were in a church there, a church led by a lady in her early 30s. Her name was Lu Wei, and she planted a church there in Wuhan, and she planted 36 other churches. And they told stories of miracles, of the release of the power of God, of extraordinary events that had taken place, of miraculous provision, of wonderful, wonderful miracles and supernatural works of God that had taken place. Why? Because when the Spirit's poured out, the gender barrier is broken. It's sons and daughters, it's men and women. So the gender barrier is down. So ladies, this is for you. Men, this is for you. Not only is the gender barrier broken down, but the age barrier is broken down. Some of you are saying, oh, I'm past it. I'm 160. You know, it's too late for me. You know, this is for the young. No, it's not. It does say sons and daughters, but in the next phrase it says this, you're old men. Ha ha. Your old men would dream dreams. Ha. Listen, I'm old. I'll tell you how I know I'm old, because I had a series of dreams a couple of years ago. And God said, old men dream dreams. Ha. And I don't mind being old if it means that God's going to pour out his Spirit upon me. Old men will dream dreams. Young men will see visions. The age barrier is not an issue when it comes to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Even when you reach 70. Holy Spirit's for you. Yeah, God wants to pour out his Spirit. You know, Smith Wigglesworth, he was active, moving in the power of the Holy Spirit right up to the day he died. He was at a friend's funeral in Wakefield. He was 87 years of age, still seeing God work through him in signs and wonders and miracles. God working powerfully upon us. So you're not too old. Nobody in this room, not even the venerable damp, is too old to know the outpouring and power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ah. Amen. So the age barrier's gone. You know, there's a lot of prophecies come about young people and all that, and I believe them all, whatever. But it doesn't mean God's not going to pour out his Spirit on many of us here. I can see a few grey hairs around and a few with no hair. But this is for you, Peter said.
Yes. Amen.
So don't give up. I'm 69 in a couple of weeks' time. I'm not as old as you. Yeah, I'm really excited about what God is going to do through me in these days. I'm really believing to see God work and move. I'm really expecting a new infusion and release of the power of the Holy Spirit. So don't give up, Wolfgang. You're not finished yet. Ha! There's people to pray for. There's prophecies to receive. There are miracles to be engaged in and part of. God's not finished with us. Ha! The old and the young. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And then whatever social status you are. I love the truth of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that it's inclusive. So he says, on your bond slaves, both men and women, I'll pour out my Spirit in those days. And what Peter is saying there, that look, even in the lowest social strata, you don't have to be educated. You don't have to have a degree in theology. You don't have to have been on the SAFE course or this Bible course or got a degree at London Bible College or whatever to experience the power of the Holy Spirit. This is for everybody, whatever level you're at, whatever your status is in this world, whatever your educational achievements are or are not, God says this is for you. Hallelujah. For you. Powerful encounter with the person and presence of the Holy Spirit. And then the final barrier that's gone is the race barrier. Ha! Every nation, every people, even Iranians. Yeah, doesn't matter where you're from. Because when Peter preached there on the day of Pentecost, it says there were 14 different nations present. And every one of them heard God speak in their own tongues and were included and brought in to receive. And there were people from Africa, and there were people from Asia, and there were people from Europe. They were all there. And Peter said, "This is for you." Every people group, every gender, every social class, this wonderful experience of the Holy Spirit is for us. I don't know what that does for you, but that makes me feel included. Yes. That God wants me to know the person and power and presence of His Holy Spirit, both in a personal way and in a corporate way. And of course, the reason for it all is there in those few verses. The reason for it all in verse 21, it's that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. God doesn't want to fill us with the Holy Spirit just because we can have better meetings or just so we can get excited and experience His power. He does want to do that, but He has a bigger purpose in mind, and that is to touch and change and transform the world in which we live. It's whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The word that Bash brought was about people from this area being touched and saved and transformed, being set free from the luggage that they're carrying, the baggage that they've got, being set free from the sicknesses that they're carrying, and being made whole. That's a purpose. That's why He wants to fill us with the Holy Spirit, so that we, anointed by the Holy Spirit, can go share this message of salvation and see this community, this place, this world, this nation touched by the power of God. I believe God wants to come. I believe God wants to move. I believe God wants to do a work in these days among us. I believe God wants to fill us with the Holy Spirit. I believe God wants us to know Him in a new way. And I want to pray for you all today, just a prayer of anointing and blessing. I wonder if you can stand, if you can, that is. If you're not able to, that's all right. You can stay seated. And I wonder if you would just reach out to God this morning and say, "God, I need to be filled afresh, anew with the Holy Spirit." There's nobody excluded. You all know that already. So this is for all of us this morning, that God wants us to know Him in a new and a powerful way. He wants us to be touched by the power of His Holy Spirit. And I believe that, time doesn't allow us to spend a lot of time praying for one another and whatever this morning. But I do believe that this can be the beginning of a new journey in relationship with the Holy Spirit, new journey in moving into a new expression of the life and power of God. So Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask You to come and touch us today. We need Your Holy Spirit. We reach out today to receive the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit. God, we want to know a Pentecost now. God, in our day, in our generation, in our lives, in our family situation, in our town, in our city, in this estate, we need the power of Your Holy Spirit to touch and reach and see transformation take place. Lord, we're living in difficult, dark days, but we thank You that You've made provision for us. And we reach out to You now and say, "Holy Spirit, come, fill me." I'm just reminded of the words of Jesus. He said, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to Me and drink. And out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." This spoke He of the Holy Spirit. Just receive from God today, right now, as we're in His presence. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Yeah, I don't mind You speaking in tongues. I'm sure no one else does either. If you feel the Holy Spirit coming upon you and you want to respond, just allow Him to touch you and reach you today as we're in His presence together. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come and fill us. We reach out to you today. We need you, Holy Spirit. And your promise is that this is for us. And we receive from you today, now, a new, fresh touch of your Spirit, that we might become the people you've called us to be, that we might do the things you've called us to do. Come, Lord, come. Fill us afresh and anew with your Holy Spirit, we pray. Oh, Father, come. Come and touch us today. Yes, Lord. We need you. We need you. Yeah, we need you, Lord. Come and touch us. We give ourselves to you. Lord, we give ourselves to you, that you will fill us, that you will touch us, that you will empower us. Yeah. Yeah.